is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1:24. We're here until 2 o'clock today, live at the Pint, 109th and Jasper on Nation Radio. Joined now by Kirk Ludeke from Bruins Draft Watch and New England Hockey Journal. Hi, Kirk.
Hey, Alan. Good to hear from you. Thanks for having me on the show.
You might as well just move to Edmonton. You're on twice a day, man. You might as well just move here.
Well, I guess I've made the big time. I'll tell you, if I'm on the radio in Edmonton, things are looking good because they don't make hockey towns much better than Edmonton.
Well, that's very kind of you. Hey, here in Edmonton, the Taylor Hall, Tyler Seguin debate has subsided at this point. Oiler fans are happy over the choice. Seguin has looked good when I've seen him. He backed off there a little bit, and they used him a little less, but he's coming on well. How's the overall view from Bruins fans in regard to Tyler Seguin?
Well, I think it's pretty clear if you poll the average fan, they would like to see him get a little more ice time under Claude Julien. Some are a little perplexed at some of the healthy scratches and the opportunities that haven't been there for him. But at the same time, I mean, it's very clear and evident from watching Tyler that he's skilled, has the ability to be an NHL impact player. But the Bruins are in the luxury, have the luxury of bringing him along slowly and making sure that he's learning all facets of the game and he's responsible. And I think Coach Julien will be the first to tell you that he wants to put out the team that he feels is best going to win hockey games. And if that means that he's sitting out Tyler Seguin along the way, then that's what he's going to do. But ultimately, I think fans are kind of wishing that they would see a little more ice time, but It is what it is at this point, and he is at least progressing and developing. I don't think the actions or the lack of actions hurting him. It's just from a fan's perspective, I think they'd like to see him playing a little more.
Well, he's a great insurance policy. And speaking of that, I really like how Chiarelli has put this roster together. He's got Chara at the front. He's got Caberle now, Seidenberg, some really nice veteran group there. But he's also brought along two players that were quietly acquired via trade a couple of years ago, Kempfer and McQuaid. Both those kids look really good.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, I was talking about McQuaid today, and he's such an interesting player because, he was a second-round pick, so obviously the talent was noticed by Columbus. They drafted him early in 2005, but watching him in his first training camp, I mean, his skating was subpar, and looking at him, you said, boy, he's got a long way to go if he's going to make the NHL. But to his credit, he did some work with Paul Vincent and really worked on his skating, and he's just gotten so much better. And he's a gentle giant off the ice. I mean, he's very soft-spoken, very pleasant, affable guy. But, sometimes you run into these big guys that are real pleasant, kind of, like I said, the gentle giant off the ice, and their play tends to translate into the same kind of thing on the ice, and that drives people crazy. One thing about McQuaid is he is a serious tiger on the ice, and the way he plays with the snarl and the toughness really belies the way he is, when he's in the room and he has the skates off and everything. So that's good. And then Kempfer certainly has an impressive skill set, and it was unfortunate to see him get the concussion because he really is, along with Caberle, he's one of the few guys on the Bruins who can really move the puck and gain the zone by himself and really provide that puck moving presence that the Bruins don't have a lot in abundance. So it's a tough loss for Kempfer, but hopefully he'll keep progressing and going through the protocol, and he'll be cleared for action, be able to get back out there.
Talk a little bit about the draft. We in Edmonton have been really measuring Larson versus Couturier here for a while because they looked like the guys who are going to be 1-2 in the draft. But everything we're reading now sees Couturier going backwards a little bit. It's surprising to us because he's still posting numbers in the queue. What's the problem with Couturier's skill set?
I think the skating. I mean, that's really the big thing. I mean, he's got that size and his hockey sense and a shot and the ability to generate offense. But the feet are a bit of a concern, and I think that has to be what it is because I mean he's a hardworking guy and a good kid. I had a chance to see him play at the World Juniors. I mean, he didn't have the biggest role for Canada. But he certainly, he brings the attributes you're looking for in terms of someone that's committed to being a player. It's just, I think the heavy feet are what's kind of setting him back a little bit. And in this day and age, when they are such a premium on the speed of the game and the skating, you're looking at guys like Ryan Strome and Jonathan Huberdeau, you know, emerging in that league, and they're better skaters. And you just say, oh, you know, that it just it may be more much ado over nothing. There could be a team sitting there in the top three that is sold on Sean Couturier, and he's not going to drop at all. And this could be just something that we're seeing kind of coming about in media circles and what's out there in the public. But you asked the question about the concern. I think that's where it would be with Couturier.
It's been a top four for a while now, and it appears as though a fifth member of the 2011 crop is getting mentioned now around number one or two, and that's Ryan Strome. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I can't say enough about Strome and what he's done this year. I talked to his coach, Marty Williamson, and they knew what a talented guy he was when they got him from Barry last year. But the way he has exploded and really just taken the bull by the horns on that Ice Dogs club, what I like about Strome is he can do everything. I mean, he can score goals. He can set them up. He's such a creative player. I mean, just watching him on the highlight videos, he just does some jaw-dropping stuff. And I think when you're looking at this, what teams are looking for in this day and age of the NHL, you not only need the guy that brings the skill set to the ice, but he's got to have that creative, that flair, that element to his game that says that, you know what, if my line mates aren't making it happen, if nothing else, I can go out and I can create on my own and give my team a chance to score a goal and make things happen and impact the game and change the game directly. And I think that's what Ryan Strome is doing for the Ice Dogs this year.
Is he the Jeff Skinner of this draft? Is he the guy who's going to fall to maybe 8 or 9 and then end up scoring 30 goals?
No, I don't think he's going to fall to 8 or 9.
Okay.
I think he's a top 5 pick, and the rate he's going could be even better. I mean, Strome is the kind of guy. I mean, I think I look at the kind of season he's having and the kind of impact he's making, and I say to myself, there's got to be a team there picking in that top 5 that just has to be in love with him right now in terms of his potential and his skill set. And I just don't think he's going to drop all that far. I mean, there's just too much projectable upside there for him to get to 8 and 9. If he does, boy, whoever gets him, I think, that could be a huge steal, and you could be looking at a Skinner-type scenario. I don't know if he's ready for the NHL, but based on, you know, in terms of, you know, physical aspects, but in terms of his skill level and his you know, creativity, his intangibles, I don't think it would be a stretch to say that he might be in the NHL next year. Yeah.
This is Nation Radio on Team 1260 Edmonton Sports Radio. We're live at the Pint at 109th and Jasper until 2 o'clock today in conversation with Kirk Ludeke from Bruins Draft Watch and New England Hockey Journal. Since we last talked, Kirk, the Oilers picked up another first-round pick, the LA pick. Is the quality of this draft good enough that the Oilers can expect to pick a really good player around number 20, a really good hockey player?
I believe so, yes. This draft is interesting, depending on who you talk to. It may not have the high-end talent at the top of some of the previous years, and we've kind of been spoiled in recent years with, you know, I'm talking in terms of your Deschenes and your Stamkos and Hedmans and what have you. But as far as depth goes, I'm being told that this is a very good draft. You're going to get some quality players, you know, solidly, you know, from the first round, the second round, and obviously every year you're going to have guys that are going to be project players. They're going to have some flaws in their game. But when I hear that this is a weak draft, I just can't agree with that. Based on what I've seen with my own eyes in terms of seeing certain players and then what I'm hearing from scouts, I think the depth of this draft is good. And if you're picking at 20, yeah, you have the opportunity to pick up a nice player, albeit probably one that's going to take some time and patience to develop.
With Larson and Dougie Hamilton and Ryan Murphy and a plethora of really good defensemen ranked in the top, you know, from 5 to 15, say, is there a candidate you feel defensively who might fall out of the range, a Cam Fowler type this year?
Someone who might fall out of 5
like
to 15?
The 5 to 12, 5 to 13 range and end up being available a little later in the teens like Fowler was.
Well, I mean, I think, I as much, and I'll caveat that, I mean, I love Ryan Murphy's game, But, you know, he's out right now with a concussion, and that kind of thing is going to raise concerns because of the way this game is, and especially when you look at what happened the other night with Zdeno Chara and Max Pacioretty, and you just realize how much brute force and speed and violence these collisions are getting harder and harder every year. And so when a team's looking at investing a high draft pick on a player like a Ryan Murphy, you know, it's not always about the talent alone. I mean, you can't just say, well, he's just so talented, we have to take him here. I mean, they have to factor in, you know, realistically speaking, a player that lacks the size like he does, you know, how is he going to do durability-wise? Is he going to be able to hold up to some of these big hits that, very good chances are he's going to be subjected to? And so, on talent alone, Ryan Murphy should not flip at all. I mean, I think he's a terrific player, and he's a competitor, and he's a smart kid. And I think if we were just talking in a vacuum and saying, it's all about the skill, then no. I mean, you know, Murphy's exactly where you say you have him. But if teams are now kind of concerned about potentially investing that high pick on a player who, could have some durability concerns going forward, then that's a potential issue. And then you might see him drop a little further than it's expected.
Kirk, is there a position that's really deep this year compared to last year or the year before?
Positions really deep. You know, I think there are some real quality centers in this group. I mean, you just keep seeing some of these names, and you look at who's out there. I mean, you're talking about Sean Couturier and Ryan Strome and Jonathan Huberdeau, and those guys are interchangeable too. I mean, they can play center, they can play wing, but that's becoming more and more important. That the ability to draft a player coming out of junior or coming out of college or what have you, who is capable of skating either up the middle or on the wing, it gives teams drafting them a little bit of flexibility in terms of how they employ them. So I think that's attractive as opposed to a straight winger. There's good depth at defense, and I think the goalie class is underrated. You may not have clear-cut number, first round draft picks in as far as goalies go, but there are a lot of really quality netminders, and I just keep going back to the 1994 draft. You know, you saw guys like Jamie Storr and Eric Fichaud and Evgeny Ryabchikov drafted in the first round, and then you had Evgeny Nabokov and Thomas Vokoun and Tim Thomas and John Graham drafted in the ninth round. And so I think you can always find good goaltenders up and down the rounds of the draft. Just because you don't have, high visible, high profile goalies doesn't mean you don't have a strong class. I think there's some pretty good goalies in this class.
And one final question here. It comes via email from Diggy DeLong. I hope I'm saying that right. With such a variety of players available at the top of the 2011 draft, none of which has really seemed to rise above the others, does this allow a team to draft more based on need as opposed to BPA?
That's a really interesting question. I would tell you that most teams I talk to really are going to go BPA, most, especially when they're drafting so high, because you actually have to remember is a need in 2011 may not be a need in 2013 or 12, whenever that player's ready to reach the roster. And so I really don't think it does. I really don't think you do draft for need. However, I would caveat that by saying if you're a team, for example, like Boston, who has a high pick in your playoff team and a contender, yeah, you really can kind of maybe target a guy you know is mature enough and you feel is going to be playing next year and he addresses a need, as opposed to having to wait and see, having to wait a couple years and trying to project them. So there's always that potential, but I still believe that teams are pretty sold on going best player available just because it allows them to accrue assets and gives them flexibility to make trades later to shore up areas of weakness. Whereas if you draft for a need and then all of a sudden it's not a need anymore, it just kind of might create some issues for you in terms of what your general manager is able to do.
Final question for today, Kirk. as a prediction, and we'll ask you many times before the draft, if you had to pick the guy that the Oilers were going to choose number one, and we're in Vegas and we're putting down a little bit of money, who'd you bet on?
Wow. Well, I mean, we're looking at center or defenseman, right? But you know, and I'm, yep. Here I am. I'm talking about need as opposed to BPA. At the end of the day, I think. You look at what Adam Larson has done, even though he's been hurt and hasn't played much. I think he is just one of these guys that, you know, given what he's capable of, and given his body of work to date, and how he really came on as a younger player, I think he's the guy they'll go with. And you know, he's going to be both. I think in Edmonton's mind, he would be not only the best player available, but he would be an obvious kind of needs-based pick. And he's someone that, given that he's competed in the Swedish Elite League for the past several years, would be ready to come and maybe do that right away, given the extensive experience he's had playing against men.
Kirk Ludic, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me, as always. And, good luck the rest of the way. Hope to hear from you soon.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. We'll be calling you. Thanks, Kirk. It's 1:40 on Team 1260 Radio, Nation Radio. This is Alan Mitchell. Montreal up 3-0 on Pittsburgh, and I don't know what's going on. It looks like Pittsburgh's taking their frustration out on Subban, who's a lightning rod player. It's kind of a strange game. About 2.5 minutes left in the second period, and there's been a few fights. Mara on, I think, Talbot, and some action going on in that hockey game, and we'll keep you updated on that. Coming up, looking forward to this, Oklahoma City's play-by-play announcer for the Barons, Jim Beyer. There's lots of information that we don't know about Oklahoma City and their playoff chances, and an opportunity to get an update on some of those great prospects down in OKC. That's all coming up next.